Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
He's got away! Wow! Touchdown! What an athlete!
The inside story on the Ducks, the Beavers, the national recruiting scene, and high school prospects across Oregon and Southwest Washington. This is Recruiting with Andrew Nemec, Scorebook Live's Director of Recruiting, and the expert players, coaches, and fans follow.
Ooh-wee.
Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Hello and welcome to Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan. A lot to get to this week. Oregon makes the cut for the Sun. Of a former NBA star, he visited earlier this month. Oregon makes the Final Four for him. Oregon hosting a couple of key prospects here this weekend at a position of need. We talked about it last show. Oregon has not gotten an offensive line commitment since Josh Connerly, the five-star offensive tackle, the number one offensive tackle in the country, who was basically the last commitment to commit during the 2022 recruiting cycle anywhere in the country. He waited till like May to make his decision. Normally, again, people sign during December, and then there's a signing period in February. He waited all the way till May before choosing Oregon. The Ducks haven't gotten a commitment since then from an offensive lineman. They need to address it. They have a chance to do that this weekend. Also, and what I really want to start with is some of the trends going on nationally in recruiting. We wondered what would happen in the NIL era. And let me tell you, it's louder behind the scenes than it's ever been in terms of the shenanigans. Because it's legal, people are more willing to talk about what's going on. So sometimes a school finds out they're going to finish second for a commitment, and suddenly the bidding war starts. And it's like, hey, we think we can get an NIL deal going. And people can say that's not through the school. And there are ways to pass it off to your collective, to a lawyer potentially who's in charge of your NIL deal money. And then it gets orchestrated from there, and they're kind of told exactly how much they can give to a certain recruit. And so when the negotiation is going on, you know, coaching staffs aren't directly involved with it, but they're talking to the lawyer via text. They're not in the room. It all happens during unofficial visits. It can't happen during official visits. So all of that is going on. And we wondered what the ramifications would be in recruiting. Would we see more decommitments? Would we see more commitments early? Would we see people waiting so that they can start that bidding war? And I think some interesting trends have developed that are definitely worth talking about, because it's a new world out there in recruiting. You look at, just for example, we look at quarterback, running back, and receiver. Three huge positions that get the ball, obviously, positions that potentially could get deals. Now, I know some offensive linemen have been getting deals at like pancake houses and places to get trucks and tires and things like that, which is awesome. I love it. But generally speaking, when we're talking about like spokesperson type deals, those are going to be guys to get the ball. And so at quarterback, the top 33 quarterbacks in America are all already committed. If you wanted a quarterback in this recruiting cycle, really the last domino to fall was Dante Moore earlier this summer. Dante Moore was really the last prospect. Now, after that, a four-star kid decommitted, and he was like the number 14 quarterback in the country. And part of the reason he did that was he saw the writing on the wall. Oh, last quarterback standing is getting NIL opportunities. So if I decommit and I'm the only four-star in the country left on the board, I've got an opportunity here to kind of potentially make a little cheddar. And that's what we're seeing in recruiting. So with quarterbacks, it's the top 33. You want a quarterback, you're going to have to spend early in your NIL budget. At running back, 33 of the top 34 prospects are committed. At receiver, 33 of the top 34 prospects are committed. These guys are locking in early. There's less on the board than they've ever been. So what we're seeing in the NIL era, I think, what I'm speculating is happening. And again, because there's a lot going on behind the scenes, there's a lot of money flying around. It's legal, but there's a ton of it. It also dries up. Because if you want to go get your big-time quarterback, and we've heard this with Nico. We heard this. He's going to Tennessee. We heard this with Jaden Rashada, two five-star quarterbacks in this cycle. Rashada going to Miami. We've heard, reportedly, they got $8 million, $9.5 million. Well, when those guys take that big chunk of NIL money, you want to wait until December to announce your commitment. The pool dries up. So if you want to lock in and really have some negotiating strength when it comes to NIL, lock in early. The other big piece of the way that athletes were kind of trained during COVID was that you needed to commit early, because during the transfer portal window during COVID, what programs were essentially saying, what the NCAA said by granting everyone on the roster an extra year of eligibility, was for the next 4 years, scholarships are going to be tight. So it was hammered home in 2021 because of COVID and guys couldn't get opportunities. They couldn't get scholarships. And then hammered again in 2022 because everyone got an extra year, so guys didn't graduate. They just stuck around their college. That if you get an offer and you like it, you better commit. So we've got a whole lot right now, whether it's directly, hey, commit because your scholarships are going to dry up, or indirectly, hey, the NIL money is going to dry up if you wait until December to commit. That's telling these kids to commit early. What that means is recruiting classes are fairly stable. There's not going to be quite as much movement. Now, Texas A&M is probably going to do their similar fly from 50th to top 10 late, go figure. But generally speaking, recruiting classes are pretty stable because most of these kids are already locked in. You know, I remember not that long ago, we were talking about fall. You know, when I did coverage, it was mostly skewed towards the fall because so many kids were uncommitted. Every week was who's officially visiting. It's not the case anymore. We're talking about, yes, a few official visitors, but the bigger news is who are the 2024s taking unofficial visits? And the reason kids want to take those unofficial visits right now is, one, that's where legally you can potentially discuss NIL deals, and two, they want to make an informed decision early because scholarships are drying up. The other thing that is causing kids to commit early is that you can take official visits in the spring. That's only been around for a couple years now. It used to be that you could start taking official visits the first day of your senior year in high school. And then you could take them all the way through, you know, your senior year. But most kids would either take them before the early signing period, and then schools would hold a few official visits back because you only have a certain number. And guys who didn't sign during the early signing period, they would blitzkrieg recruit and try to get them to take an official visit in January. Those were the windows that people took official visits. Now, most recruits took 4 and sometimes 5 of their official visits in June. They're done. All of this is leading to guys committing earlier. It's really fascinating to watch. My calendar has completely shifted. And I know that doesn't matter as much for people following it, I suppose. But it used to be that just the fall was absolutely packed with commitments, with official visits that were going to lead to commitments. And again, outside of a handful of official visitors at different places, the bigger news is what's going to happen with the class of 2024. These kids are going to schools. They're finding out potentially what they can earn. They're finding out what schools they want to take their 5 official visits to in the spring, in March, April, and May, so that they can make their commitments. It's a different era. And it's really fascinating to cover because it changed so quickly. Again, we went from a focus on the fall to really a focus on the spring and summer. If you're a program and you're looking to heavily recruit and bring an elite recruiting class together, you better have your ducks in a row, no pun intended, in March, April, May. That's when you really are doing a lot of work. That used to be time to kind of get ready for spring. You'd host a camp or two. You'd see what was going on. By then, you better have your hooks in the primary chunk of your class. It's very interesting how things are changing. The other area that things are changing dramatically, and again, another, I think, fascinating piece. No one will ever tell you this publicly, but this is what's going on. The elite, elite schools have a pool of NIL money for current players so that they can keep them and keep them happy, so that they don't Jordan Addison and go from, you know, win the Biletnikoff at Pitt and then go to USC for potentially NIL money. And we do know that he got NIL money. You could just argue whether or not that was the primary reason he left. You could say it was because he wanted to be in Lincoln Riley's offense. That's fine. He also got quite a bit of money to go to USC. And again, they would argue it wasn't to go to USC. It's just a deal that he got now that he's at USC. But whatever. What we're seeing is the elite programs, the Alabamas, the Texas A&Ms, the Clemsons, those programs have essentially a budget. And they have a pool of money to keep their roster happy. So guys are getting NIL deals when they're stars. And you're seeing that everywhere. You're seeing that, you know, that's the case at Oregon. We've seen NIL deals with the NFT stuff and Kayvon Thibodeau. But we're seeing that all over the country, that guys are getting NIL deals. And then they also have a pool for their recruiting class. What's happening with the smaller schools is they don't have as much money. So what becomes the priority? Is it take a chance and spend potentially six figures or high five figures on guys who may or may not pan out, four-star recruits that you could potentially get outbid for? Or does it make more sense to get as many good, projectable, three-star prospects as you can who don't necessarily expect NIL money and then use the money you have to keep your players happy? If you're at a Washington State, if you're at an Oregon State, if you're at a Fresno State, does it make sense with the money, the pool that you have, to try to figure out, and again, it's not directly with the school, it's these businesses that want to connect with the school. Do we set up NIL deals or do we help connect to NIL deals with our star players so that they are happy, they're paid, and they don't want to transfer? So it's really fascinating to see how all this stuff is working, and some of it is now public. We're starting to get fans who are pretty openly on social media, if you pay attention, especially in the SEC, talking about, well, this kid got paid right at the end. And it came up this week, and it led to some serious drama on the recruiting trail, and it led to a 2024 prospect, the number one defensive lineman in the country, a prospect who's planning on visiting Oregon in a couple weeks. It led to him publicly announcing, I will not be bought by NIL deals. We'll talk about that next on Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The NFL season takes shape.
This is an incredible stat.
From five stars to unknown prospects, we cover them all. From Scorebook Live, this is Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan.
So I mentioned a little bit of drama on the recruiting trail, and man, there sure was. And for people who don't know I'm now working at SB Live Sports as the director of recruiting there. I cover the whole country. I also am in partnership with Sports Illustrated. So a lot of, or a good chunk of my content then goes to Sports Illustrated team sites and things like that. There was a huge commitment yesterday. It was on ESPN2. I mean, it was a big deal. Midday, ESPN2, the number one defensive lineman in the country. Had Oregon as a finalist, Oregon was not really in it. This was a battle between Oklahoma and Texas A&M. They were in a battle to the end for this prospect. Number one defensive lineman in the country, number nine overall prospect, five-star recruit out of Texas. Would it be Oklahoma? Would it be Texas A&M? I had talked to him in the summer, and he loved Oklahoma. He loved Oklahoma. But there was this small part of him that was like, maybe Texas A&M. And perhaps fans should have seen the writing on the wall because, and perhaps I should have seen the writing on the wall because he took unofficial visits to Texas A&M twice this month leading up to his decision. And even after that, it seemed very likely it would be Oklahoma. Why? Well, let me tell you how some of this stuff works. Again, kind of a peek behind the curtain in recruiting. One of the ways you can kind of tell where a kid's going sometimes is he'll tell other recruits. And if you have relationships with a bunch of recruits, sometimes you can ask them where a kid might be going. And sometimes when the kid changes his mind at the last minute and people go, oh gosh, the experts are so dumb, they picked it wrong. The recruits react like, what? That's not what he told me. And suddenly you go, oh, he changed his mind. It's not that the experts were, air quotes here, wrong. It's that something really wild happened right at the end. And that was the case for David Hicks because he talked to David Stone. Now, David Stone is the number one defensive lineman in 2024. And if you've been following Texas A&M recruiting, they are landing historic levels of talent along the D-line. Last year was one of the best defensive line recruiting classes in the history of college football recruiting. This year, they got the number one D-lineman in the entire country. So obviously, they're keeping that going. And that player has a relationship with, again, David Stone, who's the number one defensive lineman in 2024. David Stone goes to IMG in Florida, but he's from Oklahoma, and that's a whole nother thing. IMG gets kids from all over the country, and they come and play, like Riley Williams from Central Catholic High School initially. He's now playing in Florida at IMG. Jaden Wayne, the top player in the state of Washington, a five-star edge rusher, is now playing. He's from Tacoma. He's now playing at IMG. They are a football factory. Their defense alone has something like six or seven five-star recruits. In fact, they're so loaded along the defensive line and edge that Samuel Mpemba is a five-star edge rusher, and some places have him as high as the number two edge rusher in America, and he is a backup on that team. That's how good they are. So anyway, David Stone tweeted that he was shocked, so I called him and asked him about it. And David Stone said, essentially, I don't really know what happened. It kind of shocked me a little bit. I talked to him a few days ago, man. Things kind of change out of nowhere, so I'm a little bit shocked. It's all good. They talked about playing together. Hicks, number one defensive lineman in 2023. Stone, number one defensive lineman in 2024. They talked about playing together in college. And Stone openly admits, David Stone, the younger one, openly admits, I'm from Oklahoma. Oklahoma feels like family. Right now, they're my leader. Michigan State's right there, too, but Oklahoma's my leader. So when they talked about playing together, they were mostly talking about potentially linking up at Oklahoma. So he's watching his commitment, thinking, well, I got a future teammate potentially if I end up at Oklahoma, and he's going to go to Oklahoma, and that might help my decision. And he chooses Texas A&M. So I do this interview, and he's surprised, and David Stone's talking about the fact that he's surprised, and he also mentions, because I've talked to David Hicks about playing together, the fact that he's now at Texas A&M kind of opens the door for Texas A&M. I've been there three times. I like the coaching staff, and they were able to get him at the last minute, so that's interesting. I'm going to go check it out. So most people on Twitter who, you know, call them trolls, commenters, whatever you want to call them, most people who were upset about the decision just basically said it was an NIL deal, that he got a huge amount of money right at the end because he told other recruits he was going to Oklahoma. That was supposedly the plan, and then at the last minute, he chose Texas A&M. Well, sometimes that's overstated. Sometimes that's a situation that you say, you know, sour grapes. Not everybody just gets paid when they switch. But the undercurrent here is that Texas A&M, now remember, that's the same program Nick Saban this offseason said they bought every recruit last year. There's a lot of accusation flying around Texas A&M because them and Miami and Louisville right now in the NIL era, I tweeted this, those three programs, Texas A&M, Miami, and Louisville, are the three programs right now that it seems like if they're a finalist, even if they're supposed to be third, even if they're supposed to be fifth, in the last 24 hours, every once in a while, they somehow manage to make up the gap in the last 24 hours. The other piece is that the rumors last year, and I heard this last year covering recruiting, they were very, very loud, very early. Texas A&M has $30 million in different booster businesses and NIL deals that they can offer players. And it, again, extremely loud. And that's when their recruiting class was around 50th in the country in the summer. Now, reminder, they finished with the number one recruiting class in the history of recruiting. And I'll do you one better. I tend to have some rough idea of the NIL budgets at various schools, at least some idea. Again, I don't know for sure, but I have some rough idea. $30 million was an insane outlier. $30 million was double what anyone else was working with. So if they were in a battle for a five-star kid and he was going to get, you know, a deal, potentially an NIL deal for 1.1, they could just come over the top with three. Forget 1.1 million. How about three? And there was some of that going on. And that is why Nick Saban said they bought every player. And then he had to pump the brakes because Jimbo's like, I'll air your dirty laundry. I'll explain how you do it. And I'll explain how we do it. And we'll get into it. Let's get into it. You want to? We can. Because our stuff's at least legal. And then Nick Saban apologized and backed off. That was not an accident. It was because the gloves came off. And Jimbo's like, you want to do this? It's legal now. Yeah, sure, we're doing it. But we're doing it legally. Let's talk about what you guys used to do before it was legal. And Saban, again, publicly apologized and backed off. So, with this Texas A&M stuff comes from last year, it being very loud that they potentially bought players. So when David Stone, again, the number one defensive lineman in 2024, says suddenly I'm kind of interested in Texas A&M because I'd like to play with David Hicks. We talked about doing that at Oklahoma. Now we might do that at Texas A&M. Fans started accusing him of wanting to take money. That if you want to go to Texas A&M, you liked Oklahoma, it must be because you want money. So I circled back with David because it upset him. It upset him to the point that he tweeted about it. And this is where we are in the world of college football recruiting. This is how much things have changed. He tweeted publicly, NIL will not be the reason I go to a school to play football. So do not make the assumption again that I can be bought. We've got a problem in the college football recruiting world. And I think the biggest problem is there's a lot of money flying around totally legally to 16, 17, 18-year-old kids. And fans, because there's a lot of money being thrown around and because they're huge fans, are treating it like professional sports. Well, they're only high school kids. And they aren't off social media all the time because sometimes they're on social media posting pictures of themselves working out at the gym. They're normal people because they're not celebrities. So when you tweet at Jamar Chase or you tweet at, you know, Peyton Manning or Aaron Rodgers, they're probably not going to see it. When you tweet at a high school kid, they're definitely going to see it. And so when David Stone says, yeah, I've been interested in A&M and, you know, I might be more so now, he definitely read people saying, you're going to get bought. You're going to be bribed to go to a different school. I imagine getting bombarded with that, 30 messages like that, when you're 16, 17 years old. It's too much. I don't know how we fix it. Not paying the players is wrong. I'm all for paying the players. But as long as we're doing this almost as if it's the black market, shh, don't tell anybody, shh, let's not say anything, we're going to have these problems. I think the best way to do it and to keep the NCAA relevant is that the NCAA is not in charge of policing deals. And there are obviously always ways to get around it by just giving a kid cash. But I think the best way to do this, to set the market so there's not crazy bidding wars and everybody kind of knows what everybody makes and parents are informed, is that if you sign an NIL deal, in order to maintain your eligibility, you have to disclose how much you got and from what company or business. That sets the bar. People know what to expect from deals. kids can't go to different schools saying they're being offered, and this is happening all over the place. Kids are committing to a school and then visiting another school when they're committed and saying, hey, I went to that visit. I went to Utah State A&M, and they offered me $3 million. If you guys don't match it, I'm flipping. That's happening all over the place. And these schools have to decide, is that real? Is it not real? Are they formally offering that much money? Are they not? If you disclose how much everyone is getting, it sets the market so that there aren't wild rumors and wild deals. Imagine free agency in the NBA. Imagine free agency in Major League Baseball or the NFL in a world where you have no idea if deals are real. There is no salary cap, and you're dealing with some programs who have millions and millions of dollars to spend and others who have $2 million for their entire team. That's what we're dealing with right now. That's why elite kids are transferring. That's why schools are desperately trying to find NIL deals for current players on their team so they won't leave for other schools. And that's why we're having issues in recruiting with some of the stuff that we're seeing right now. It's wild out there. The Oregon Ducks hosting an interesting weekend. They need to address some key needs, and they've got a couple of big-time prospects coming to campus this weekend. We'll talk about it next.
We are
selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Recruiting visits. This is where it happens. Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick. Featuring Scorebook Live Director of Recruiting, Andrew Nimmick.
They might have priced themselves out of the rest of the top 50 recruits.
Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick on 1080 The Fan.
So admittedly, I am going to do my best here on names. But I make zero promises. Oregon has not gotten an offensive line commitment since Josh Connerly Jr., the number one offensive tackle in the country, committed to Oregon in the class of 2022. That's not a huge deal. The bigger issue is the number of misses. Oregon's been in the mix for a number of offensive linemen they thought they were going to get, potentially. Offensive linemen that the recruiting world, the recruiting public, predicted they would get. And then they didn't get them at the last minute. Again, in the NIL era, make of that what you will. So Oregon needs linemen pretty badly. And they've got an opportunity to address that in a pretty significant way this weekend. Now, everybody knows Johnny Bowens, is visiting, the four-star defensive lineman out of Texas. He decommitted from Texas A&M. Oregon is strongly in the mix. Texas A&M potentially could bring him back into the fold. They've done a great job recruiting D linemen. It'll depend on if they have a spot for him because, again, they're getting guys like David Hicks, the number one defensive lineman in the country. So if they've got a spot, he's a talented player. He'll visit Oregon this weekend. That should be an interesting visit. But the offensive line is really what I'm paying attention to right now because Spencer Fano, the number one offensive tackle in the entire West region. He's the number seven offensive tackle in the country, a top 100 recruit nationally. He's visiting Oregon this weekend. He just announced a top four, BYU, Utah, Michigan, and Oregon. And when you've got a chance to add the number one offensive tackle in the region, and he's visiting your campus, and you haven't gotten a lot of offensive linemen lately, you need to close. Now, Fano's an interesting case. His brother Logan attends BYU, and he attends BYU after he took a two-year Mormon mission. Fano is similar. So if you get a commitment from Spencer, I don't know whether he'd go potentially, you know, sometimes, very rarely, an athlete will go to college for a year or two before they before they take their mission, but he is very likely to take a mission after his commitment, at which point his deal is non-binding. His letter of intent is non-binding, and he gets to go through a second recruitment. So it's an on-paper win more than it is a depth chart win. Yes, you probably are the leader for him in the sense that when he goes through his second recruitment, he'd already committed to you. But in 2 years, we've seen in college football, coaches change, situations change, stadiums change, facilities change, you know, schemes change, everything changes. So again, that's an on-paper win potentially. I don't necessarily think that that's going to lead to massive fireworks on the field. The other one is a little bit more intriguing to me. He's from Farrington in Hawaii. He's an interior offensive lineman, and this is where I say I apologize for the name because I'm not going to be able to say it. Iapani Lalulu, I'm hoping. Fingers crossed. 6'2", 355 pounds. He's got to slim down a little bit, but he's a four-star lineman. He's the number 13 interior offensive lineman in the entire country. Offers from Florida, Miami, Oregon, Penn State, Stanford, USC. That's a player you want to bring in. He's got size. He's got talent. We've already seen how many offers he has, so he's a big-time player. When you got offers from Florida, Miami, Oregon, Penn State, USC, Stanford, you're a high academic kid who's also very talented. So that's going to be interesting to see. He's a player that Oregon needs to get. And when you get to this point in the year, again, with so many athletes being committed already, it really is key to just what are our needs? Let's go out and get guys that we need. And let's make sure that when they visit, we lock them in. The other little piece here, and I don't want to dwell on this a ton, but Spencer Fano is a member of the Mormon Church, obviously. That Oregon chant that, you know, T.C. Malayuna left Oregon after and then said, you know, this isn't that big a deal. I left because I was uncomfortable, but it's all good. I've moved on. Oregon's still high on my list. He visited BYU the next weekend. Spencer Fano, you know, is visiting Oregon. The chant F the Mormons at the Oregon BYU game is not going to be a factor. If people are worried about that, if people are wondering, hey, is this going to be a huge problem? It's not. It's something that a handful of kids did. No one thinks it's tied to the program in any way. So there is not going to be a Mormon fallout here with the Oregon football program. So a really interesting just little visitor note with offensive line that Oregon's got a real chance here to address it. But if they are to get both Fano and Lalulu, pay attention to the fact that more than likely that really only means they're getting one and that the better one is going to take a two-year mission and won't be a part of the program. So it would be an on-paper win. It would not be necessarily a massive on-field win. In terms of on-field wins, Oregon, one of the areas they've done a great job is wide receiver. And I wrote an article for scorebooklive.com ranking the 10 best wide receiver classes in the country. And unsurprisingly, USC is very, very high on that list. But Oregon came in at number 6. They got Jerrion Dickey. They got Ashton Kosert. I know I've written publicly that Jerrion Dickey, the number 2 wide receiver in the country, 5-star receiver. He has been absolutely dominant this fall. I mean, as physically imposing a receiver as you will find. and I've said this, I'll continue to say this, I don't even care if he signs with Oregon. Until he shows up on campus and takes part in a practice and multiple practices, I am not necessarily going to just chalk that up as a commitment. I think there's a lot. I know there's a lot going on behind the scenes there. He's a good kid. I want to be very clear. I'm not talking about anything nefarious. But there's a lot going on there. He's transferred. He looked at transferring to schools at Mater Dei. At one point, he looked potentially at transferring to a school in Florida. He came back and went to the public school in his area, which was like a fourth or fifth choice. Again, he announced he was transferring from his high school initially without a landing spot. Just, I'm leaving. So there's some stuff going on behind the scenes here that people need to be aware of. So we'll see. But Ashton Kohser, one of the more fascinating recruitments in the country for me because of the raw. There's so much raw there. He's a 6'4.5", 190-pound receiver who runs a verified 4.4. Those measurables almost don't exist very many places in high school football. There's a handful of kids in America every year who have those types of measurables, who are 6'4", 6'5", and have legitimate track speed. He is lightning quick. He's extremely raw. He's extremely raw as a receiver. Route running needs work. Technique needs work. His hands need to get a little bit better. He's not a natural elite catcher of the football. But holy smokes, you redshirt him and give him a couple years to teach him the finer points at the receiver position. He's got a chance, no guarantees, but he's got a chance to be absolutely electric. That group was ranked number 6. In the pack, or excuse me, in the entire country. So there were two in the Pac-12, 10 in the whole country, obviously the top 10 classes. The other one in the Pac-12 is USC. And USC came in at number 2. And this is going to be the new normal with the Trojans. As I've said before, I think Oregon's game plan with Dan Lanning is we're going to have a long-term, the goal, the outlook is we're going to have a better defense than you are because we've got Dan Lanning and you've got, you know, Lincoln Riley and Alex Grinch. We will try to keep pace with you at quarterback and at the skill position players in recruiting. You're probably going to do better, but we are going to recruit defense better than you. And so far, that seems to be working a little bit. Again, Oregon with the number 6 recruiting class in the country for wide receivers. USC's at number 2. That's not a massive gap if your defense is better. USC got Zachariah Branch, who is the number 1 receiver in the entire country, and Makai Lemon, who is the number 2 athlete in the country. Makai Lemon is a 4-star wide receiver, and he, to me, is like a high school Davante Adams. He is unbelievable to watch run routes, to watch some of the things he does. He is a special, special player. He's rated the number 13 receiver on On3, and I just disagree. I think he's easily a top 5, 6, 7 pass catcher in the country. I think he's going to be really good. Those two receivers are unbelievable. So USC comes in at number 2. And then the other really fascinating one, I think, is Oklahoma. And you look at the transition from Lincoln Riley to Brent Venables and what the fallout was there. And, man, it was stark for them. They were looking at an elite recruiting class. And they have, just in decommitments, if you stacked up Oklahoma's decommitments this year, it would be the number 1 receiver class in America. And they still bounced back, and with totally different players, none of those kids recommitted that they lost. They got the number 5 wide receiver class in America. That is unbelievable. Brandon Innes, who is part of the number 1 receiving class in America at Ohio State, he decommitted from Oklahoma. Again, ended up at Ohio State. Ashton Kohser, who I mentioned at Oregon, super freak athlete with unbelievable measurables, Under Armour All-American. He decommitted from Oklahoma and is going to Oregon. Makai Lemon, who I mentioned, number 2 athlete in the country, committed to Oklahoma. Now going to USC. DeAndre Moore, arguably the number 2 or number 3 wide receiver in the state of California. He's going to Louisville, although he is looking at Texas. That is an option for him potentially. He decommitted and opened things up. That's just their decommitments. I can't even imagine. I mean, we talk about losing decommitments and how frustrating that is in a coaching change. You know, we Oregon fans have seen that in the transition, from Taggart to Cristobal, from Cristobal to Lanning, and the fallout that happens. And it's discouraging when you lose a couple of 4-star prospects. I can't imagine if you're an Oklahoma fan and you have the number two athlete in the country, the number two wide receiver in the country, a top 10 receiver in the country, and an Under Armour All-American who's freaky, freaky measurables. Those four guys. And you're like, man, we're going to be stacked at receiver. And all of them, as well as the number one quarterback in the country, decommit from your program. And yet, under Brent Venables, Oklahoma has bounced back and has a top 10 recruiting class. It's unbelievable what they've been able to do. Oklahoma not considered a national power in recruiting too often. I know people think of Oklahoma as an elite program, and they certainly are in terms of their history. But in terms of recruiting, they're not a perennial top five recruiter. So to lose five-star quarterback in the number one receiving class in the country and to end up after all of that with a top 10 class, really, really, really impressive from Oklahoma. I wrote about five prospects in Oregon who I think are underrated and deserve a little more respect. I will tell you who they are next on Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College recruiting, high school prospects, and more. This is Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan.
Going a little hyper-local here right at the end of the show. Six prospects in the state of Oregon who I think deserve more attention. We touched on this last week with Jordan Johnson. I just wanted to hammer home a few of these kids. By the way, we talked about the fact that Washington has way more talent than Oregon. That is true. I mean, they have multiple five-star prospects in the state. Oregon hasn't really had a five-star prospect since Talanoa Hufanga. You know, Oregon has a high three-star prospect this year total, you know, in terms of Pac-12 caliber players. They do not have a blue-chip recruit. Next year, they have two, and they've been trending down in the rankings. They might end up being low, low four stars. Whereas, again, you know, Josh Connerly, the number one offensive tackle in the country, just came out of Seattle. Sam Heward was the number three quarterback in the country. He came out of Seattle. Jacob Eason was the number one quarterback in the country coming out a few years ago, Seattle. They just churn out talent. They're just loaded. But Wes Lynn smacked Lake Stevens. And Lake Stevens is one of the best programs in Washington. They were ranked number one. Wes Lynn was up something like 35-0 in the first half. They ended up winning that game. Central Catholic won a big game over a big-time program in Washington as well. So Oregon, despite the fact that from a recruiting standpoint, the very top-level kids are better in Washington, right now Oregon is making a big-time statement about who has the best football talent as far as team base, and I think that's really exciting. By the way, the best team in Washington right now is Yelm, and it would be really fascinating to see what would happen if Yelm played Central Catholic or Westland. That would be fascinating. But six prospects, I think, deserve more attention. Number one with a bullet. I don't understand it. You know, honest to goodness, I have people who ask me if it's like some sort of conspiracy theory at this point. You know, some sort of conspiracy against him. Three-star athlete Mark Hamper. He's 6'2", 205 pounds. He's probably too small to be an outside linebacker, probably not quick enough to be a safety, and that's the issue. But the dude's just an unbelievable football player. You play him, last year he played receiver and was an all-state caliber receiver. Late in the year they had an injury, they moved him to running back. He was suddenly the number one or number two most productive running back in the entire state of Oregon. You play him at safety, he's one of the best safeties in the entire state. You play him at linebacker, he's arguably the best linebacker in Oregon. Everywhere he plays, he brings an all-state caliber football mentality to what he's doing. And this isn't like, oh, well, you know, he's got options in the Big Sky and Mountain West. He's just not a Pac-12 recruit. He's not getting bites from the Big Sky. he's got an offer from Portland State. He went and visited Montana, and on the visit, they didn't offer him. So this is not great, great football player, unreal football player. He's going to have all the Big Skies, all the Mountain Wests, and he just wishes he had Pac-12s. He's literally not finding landing spots. It's unbelievable. Three-star athlete Chip Allers out of Summit High School. He is the grandson of Rich Brooks, is my understanding. And phenomenal football player. If he were in the Three Rivers League, if he were at Jesuit or Central Catholic, people would be making a huge deal about this player. He's unbelievable, and in some ways, he reminds me a little bit of Luke Musgrave. Similar kid, you know, Bend High School, Oregon ties, under-recruited, but obviously really talented. I had Luke Musgrave rated as the number two player in the state of Oregon. And there was a long time, a very long time, where Luke Musgrave wasn't in the top 20. That's how crazy Luke Musgrave's recruitment was. And then finally he popped and ended up, I think, being number three in the final rankings. I had him at two. He's going to play in the NFL. Chip's the same way, man. I mean, Chip is a player who's just a big-time talent who teams need to recognize. And I think he's a Mountain West caliber kid. And again, he's at the level where, like, he's hoping to get Big Skies. Wiley Donnerberg out of West Lynn. Everybody makes a huge deal, as well they should, out of Joey Olson, who's going to USC. Out of AJ Pugliano, who's got offers from all over the place, out of North Medford. Wiley Donnerberg's not that far behind those kids. He's a three-star athlete. He's probably more of a tight end. He could play some edge. He's 6'4", 200 pounds, well-built, moves well. I really like him. He deserves a little bit more attention. Unfortunately, this kid's been hurt now twice, and that's part of it here. Two-star linebacker Will Wilson out of Tualatin High School. You could make a strong argument that he was playing like the defensive player of the year the first two games of the season before he got hurt. Phenomenal football player. He's going to Northern Arizona. If he were healthy. Now, again, he missed his junior year with an injury. He's missing his senior year with an injury, and he still has a scholarship offer from Northern Arizona. Whereas, you know, some of these guys have played, been all state, and have the same level of offers. If he would have played and stayed healthy, he could have been an absolute monster prospect. I love Will Wilson out of Tualatin High School. Just deserves more attention, even though he got hurt. Three-star tight end, Jaden Fortier. This is old news at this point because he's now getting that attention. He's not under-recruited anymore. The Tualatin High School athlete just visited Oregon State. He's got a chance to get that Oregon State offer. He's going to have Pac-12 offers, big-time tight end in the class of 2024. I actually think he might be in the discussion right there with Joey Olson and AJ Pugliano by the time it is all said and done. He's rising. And again, those guys are good. They're four-star prospects. They both dropped 50, 60, 70, 100 spots in the national rankings. Not because of anything they've done, just they haven't taken that leap. And to some extent, Jaden Fortier has taken that leap. The last player I want to mention, he's not even rated anywhere, a West Albany linebacker, Bryson Catchell, 6'3", 225 pounds. He's probably never going to be a Power 5 conference guy. He's just not that guy. But he is a small college linebacker. And I don't know if that's going to end up being Big Sky. I don't know if that's going to end up being, you know, he goes to Western Oregon, he goes to Southern Oregon, and is an All-American. But he's got that kind of potential. The West Albany kid, he rocks a fierce mullet. Definitely, you know, perfect casting for what he is this big, physical, tough backer. Those six players are really, really impressive to me. And if you want to do a bonus one as a seventh, Jack Wagner is an athlete who, out of Tualatin, he might end up being the state player of the year this year. He is going to the Big Sky, and I think there's a really good chance when we look back at Jack Wagner, he is suddenly he's in that discussion as an All-American quarterback, and he is that kid who transfers. And obviously Dakota Prukop did not do well when he transferred from Oregon. Vernon Adams went to Eastern Washington and then obviously was very successful at Oregon. I think Jack Wagner could have a similar run. He's going to Idaho. I think he's overqualified to be at Idaho. I think he's going to be very, very good very, very quickly. And if he is very, very good very, very quickly, I think we're going to see a situation where, again, within a couple years, he has offers to play and be a star in the Mountain West or Pac-12 conference. That is going to do it for this week's show. The last little bit I want to say is that I hope Tua Tagovailoa is okay. I wrote an article about him when he was 15 years old, before Marcus Mariota won his Heisman. I did a story on who could be the next star Hawaiian quarterback. And it was this 15-year-old kid, Tua Tagovailoa, got to know him really, really well for a couple years when he was 15 and 16 years old. And that one stung me, to be honest. He's two concussions in 4 or 5 days is a scary, scary thing. So hope he's okay. Next week, recap of the visitors, what's going on in the Pac-12 nationally and beyond. Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick on 1080 The Fan. Thank you for listening. As always, appreciate you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.